The focus I want to look at today in my sermon homily message address is the being together within the family of Christ, without barriers, without divisions, because those are all so easy. But interestingly, within that, the lectionary that we follow today has actually given us some quite chunky, meaty, fruity readings with quite a lot in it. And actually, I mean, there are people who have spent, lifetimes, and in at least in my church background, would have ended up getting sainthoods out of the amount of studying they had done on the words, for example, of St. Paul, or indeed of the gospel writer Luke. But I want to bring it right in, I hope, and this is my sincere hope and prayer that it will make sense, to be about how it is how we engage with one another in the family, which is God's church. So I want to reflect first a little bit on Paul. Now Paul, interesting character to say the least. Many people sort of love his theology and his writings, and some people find it a little bit difficult because Paul came from a certain time and a certain place. Deeply, deeply intelligent. I mean, I never met him, I wasn't there, but you can tell his learning and his training in what was coming out of what he was writing. However you view Paul, he is without doubt one of the great builders of the church. We also know, because of his context, that he came from a very deeply segregated society, one in which issues such as gender, class, wealth, your nationality, your status, whether you were free or owned as a person, was so deeply ingrained. Now, all of these issues we know still are there in society, very much so. And in some parts of the world, each and every one of those are still very much in place. And actually, we don't need to go very, very far to understand about inequalities of gender and identity, or even whether you're free, because obviously even in our own country where we hopefully believe in equality and freedom, we do know that people trafficking and slavery is still an issue. It may not be as obvious as it was in the Roman Empire times, where you could go to the market and buy people, but as we do know, there is a market for people. Paul's background comes out in so many different ways, in depending on what he is teaching about. And sometimes we struggle in our modern viewpoint to see, actually, it doesn't really help us understand equality and the fact that we do all belong together. But actually, the reading that we've had today, and if you listen to, really does. It really does. It breaks down divisions. Now, Paul's mission, and it was indeed a mission, was to establish the church, not so much as buildings, as you will understand, as collections of individuals in a wide range of locations. That's why he was writing letters to people all over the empire. That's why we have, you know, letters to the Galatians and the Thessalonians and the Romans, because indeed he was taking the message out throughout, well, really the known world back then. Wherever he went, though, he was trying to do the same thing. Get a collection of people together to believe in the salvation of Jesus Christ, so believe in God's plan of salvation, but equally to make sure that each and every person was of utter value to God. Everybody was equal. And therefore, human divisions were to be removed. It wasn't really a radical who was going out to preach revolution on the streets and to overthrow society. And indeed, we do know in other parts of Paul's writings, for example, particularly when he's writing about women in roles in the church and that sort of thing, you know, it's a little bit, oh, hang on, couldn't say that these days. But we do know that within the church, He said we are all to be equal, and we have to use that as the beacon that shines out into the world. Now, I think as a church, no matter what label we call it, which part of the church it is, we still very much believe in that. We believe in the equality of the person and that everybody is welcome. So we find Paul writing to this new church in Galatia. He had been addressing the Jewish communities who had been there for quite a while. Now, of course, their background, and this is what he was talking about what happens before faith. You had the law that had to be taught, was based on the extensive rules and regulations of the Old Testament. Now, Paul at no point said that none of that is not important. And we still in the church do not say that is not important. But we say, actually, it's been updated because we have a New Testament. That New Testament is based on faith in Jesus Christ, who simplifies it for us, we hope. Now, I'm a bit of a believer, I'm sure some of you are as well, many of you probably, that actually the rules and the laws, and let's say, for example, I mean, I've been in many churches which would have, let's say, the Ten Commandments painted on the wall. You know, I mean, those were a simplification of the commandments that you find in the old Jewish law books. Does anybody actually know? You probably do, actually, because I imagine you're a very well-read congregation. Do you know roughly how many commandments, how many laws there were in the Old Testament? You'd be right if you're thinking 613. 613. Of course, you know, in the Christian canon, we tend to focus on the Ten Commandments. But there were 613. However, beyond that, there were the interpretations of them, which sort of almost become sub-rules, and so we're into the tens of thousands of rules and regulations, which is why Paul said, when you were following that, you needed to have a teacher, a professional, who would help you understand it all. Because there was no way that you could necessarily do it on your own. I certainly couldn't. I mean, I struggled to follow about 3 commandments, I have to say. You need to have guidance. As a point in comparison, I'm sure many of you drive. I don't know, does anybody remember doing something? I mean, luckily, I don't think we have to do it the same way. Has anybody recently passed a driving license and had to do something called a theory test? Does anybody know how to do a theory driving test? Okay, this is, if you want your driving license these days, and there is a, I'm not talking about, this isn't now a talk about the motor transport department of a regiment or anything like that. It's all about getting from A to B. If you want your driving license these days, before you can actually get in the car and drive around with your L plates on, and hopefully convince an instructor quite soon that you're ready to pass your test, you have to do a theory test. Now, the reason I know this, I've got 2 teenagers. One of them has done it and has now got a driving license, and the other one has just hit the 17-year-old point, so I'm having to think about it again. There are 600... about potential signs, rules of the road, if you like, that you could be asked about in your theory test. And you have to pass with flying colours. So interestingly, I suddenly thought there's a bit of a comparison there between the laws of the road and the laws of the Old Testament journey. They're about, in theory, the same number, 613 and 600. And I was thinking, actually, all the rules were about is trying to bring humanity closer to God. That's what it's about. It's not really about, don't do that, shouldn't do that, shouldn't do that, shouldn't do that. If you do that, I'll get you. It's more like, these rules are in place to try and help you find your way through life. In the same way that, those of you still drive, you follow the rules of the road, whether you're driving from Land's End to John O'Groats or John O'Groats to Land's End, that actually the rules of the road will get you safely there. But Paul says, Jesus Christ simplifies all of this. For Paul, he said, trust in Christ, follow Christ, and you'll find all the laws will come together within him, his life, and his teaching. It simplifies things. Well, you know, for example, that in the Gospels it says, when the young man who was a teacher of the law said to Jesus, out of all his laws, which is the most important? Which one should I follow the most to get eternal life? And Jesus said, love God and your neighbour as yourself. The foundation of the faith of the church is all about saying it's about loving God, loving each other. And we can't love each other if the boundaries are there. Which is why we're back to the whole notion of faith makes us a community of love and care where it doesn't matter who you are, we are all absolutely welcomed into the community of faith. The reading in Luke is quite dramatic. Okay, it's quite dramatic. It's one of Jesus' healings, his exorcisms. But I want to use that again to actually remind us that actually Jesus is also a division breaker. Division breaker. Jesus crosses to the side of the Gerasenes, where, as we know, because you heard it in the reading, he encounters this young man who, let's face it today, more often than not, if you met somebody like that, we would immediately thinking, we need medical assistance, we need psychiatry, etc. However, again, now my church tradition, and I'm sure a lot of people do, you know, we do believe in the fact that the power of evil can possess people. Okay? Unfortunately, we see it all too often in the world. Jesus obviously sees the man and wants to help. He is aware from the story of what he's been told that obviously things are not right. There are barriers between this man and God and this man and his community, which is why he doesn't live at home anymore. Which is why he spends his time actually at the graveyard. Okay, which is why sometimes he's no clothes. Sometimes he has to be shackled for his own protection. He is a worry. He's a worry to people. People, he's unpredictable, even when times are going well. Although he's not really causing anybody that much harm. And interesting, I was thinking, because it's an exorcism story, you know, you'll probably know, if you watch modern movies, there's a lot of exorcism stories out there, and usually the devil's doing lots of horrible things, and creating lots of chaos and damage and bloodshed and all that sort of thing. But this is not a horror movie. This is about what Christ is all about, and actually also what the powers that are against Christ is all about. It's to separate us from each other and to separate us from God. So Jesus has quietly said to the group of who, whatever it is that is possessing or blocking this young man coming back into society, and he says to them, just leave, go, be away. I was quite interested that the version of the Bible I was reading actually seems to suggest that did your reading say legion? Did they use the word legion for the reading? Yeah, but legion was actually quite shocked. Like, what do you want with us? You know, it's only one lad, just let us be. Let us be. But of course Jesus doesn't let it be. And then we get this dramatic story of how the spirits for some reason go into a herd of pigs. We don't know why that is. It does remind us the fact we're in a Gentile area, which is why they would have pigs, because of course the Jewish community wouldn't. And of course the pigs disappear and unfortunately are destroyed in the lake. The people afterwards who've witnessed this, interestingly, are very scared. I mean, it would be upset, let's face it, to see somebody assist with a medical intervention, it's worrying, it can be worrying and scary. To see somebody often react in a spiritual way can also be quite unsettling. But the people were unsettled. They were so unsettled that they actually turned against Jesus and asked him to move on. As he was moving on, the young person comes to find Jesus. And when the people from the township come back to see if Jesus is leaving, they see this young man sitting in peace at the feet of Jesus, saying, can I follow you? Take me with you. But Jesus doesn't do that. The story ends, or the event ends, with Jesus saying to the young man, go back to your community, go back to where you are from, and tell people what has happened to you and what you have witnessed. And for me, I saw that very much as the young person's reintegration back into society, back into community, cleansed, healed, depending on however you look at it, forgiven, whatever, back into the community that he was from. A breaking down of the barriers. No longer an outcast, no longer seen as unpredictable, seen as somebody who could go home and to talk to others. Based on the faith in Jesus. And that's what Paul was saying. Paul was saying, we now have the faith. This is what we are all the same in the faith. We do not need loads of rules and regulations now. It's all about we're there, we belong to one another. And as church, as example of Christ around the world, that is what we should be. A place of safety and welcoming, just based on those really simple things. Believe in God and love one another. And if we could do that, it would certainly make the world a bit of a better place. Amen.